I'm fresh from the picket line at Canadian Blood Services, so excuse my picket attire. My name's Sherry Bain. I am an employee of Canadian Blood Services and a member of Nisupi Local 12. We are now in about the middle of our sixth week of strike. We have been 21 months without a contract. We've been about 7 months in negotiation. I believe November the 8th was the first day of our strike. Just a little bit of history for those, if you'll indulge me. Canadian Blood Services is an organization that is now just over 5 years old. It was born of the Creever Inquiry after the blood scandal of the 80s and 90s. Its primary mandate was to protect the safety of the blood supply. Approximately 90% of those people currently with Canadian Blood Services are the same people that are now or formerly of the Red Cross. So that other 10% are the sort of upper echelon of the organization, and they're the folks who make all the decisions, and they're the folks that we're in battle with currently. The first day of our strike when we arrived, and perhaps I'll give you a little bit of history about why we're out there. As with many other unions and folks who are battling major organizations, there's a huge wage disparity between all of those workers sort of east of Ontario and the rest that go from Ontario to BC. We're talking about a $5 to $10 an hour difference, despite the fact that this group of 46 people from Sydney to the center in Sydney and here in Halifax is the longest serving group. And after our last contract expired, we decided that we wanted to address that with the organization and felt that, you know, even Stats Canada doesn't support the fact that we should be the lowest paid anymore. We're pretty much on par now, surprisingly to me even, with Toronto and Vancouver. So we felt that we should, especially when this center, I think there are 42 collection Canadian Blood Services centers across the country. We are one of less than 10% who are mandated to collect more than we need in this province to supply the needs of other centers across this country. So we collect 110% more than we need to supply centers like Toronto and Vancouver, who are making $5 to $10 more an hour than we are. So wage issues were a concern. Job security was another issue. This organization, every year since 1998, their operating budget has increased. Right now, they're at about $850 million to run this organization, and those monies come from each of the health ministers of each province. Because we are a have-not province, apparently our health minister doesn't contribute as much as some of those other provinces, and therefore we don't get paid as much. One of the big things that has come up, and you may have read some of it in the media, is the safety and transport of blood. Right now they are, if you go to Sydney to donate a unit of blood, what they're doing after that's collected and packed is they're putting it in the back of a taxi. And they're allowing a taxi driver to transport that blood from Sydney to Halifax. Those vehicles aren't marked. There's not a sign on that vehicle to say that there is a biohazard contained within. Those drivers aren't trained to deal with a biohazard, as is blood. This is untested blood, keep that in mind. A little different than the stuff that arrives at our center and is tested for things like hepatitis C, AIDS, West Nile virus. So they're putting these drivers at risk. They're putting any first responders at the scene of an accident, and it's not a question of if, it's a question of when these folks will have an accident. Someone can arrive on the scene of an accident and not know that there is untested blood in this vehicle. So we've been trying to have some discussions with the Minister of Health. We've sent three or four letters. We've at this point had no response. The first day that we arrived at the center down on Goddington Street across from the police station, which is really an interesting place to picket, we were greeted by three SUVs, seven cameras, and nine security guards hired from a company in Ontario called AFI. So everything that we say and everything that we do is recorded. We've been told that they have I don't know what the technology is called, but I've heard it's Whisper 2000 or Whisper 3000 5 minutes. And they tout the fact that they're professional strike breakers on their website. So what they're hoping is that they can compile information and get an injunction against us, which essentially means that they can limit our numbers on the picket line and try to quash our strike. One of the challenges that we face in an organization such as this is what you're dealing with is people who are coming in every day to come and save a life. So we needed, as employees and donors, most of us, to take sort of a non-militant approach to get our information out there and to try to get some of the folks to understand why we're there and listen. And we've been, you know, we haven't stopped anybody. We've not, the only thing we've really done is made a lot of noise. We've got pots and pans and horns and the whole nine yards, but they've had no luck. We've been a very quiet group and very successful despite the fact that we've not been raucous. Probably 4 weeks into our strike, Canadian Blood Services has filed with the Labor Relations Board to have a hearing, suggesting that we're failing to bargain, suggesting that we have exceeded the limits of rational discussion with the public. They were angry by the fact that this hour has 22 minutes, decided to do a little clip about the transport of blood. I don't know if anybody saw that, it was really quite funny. But they're a little PO'd about that, and suggested in this four-page letter from one of the most prominent law firms in this city. They surprisingly have no money to pay us, but they can pay these folks that are down there surveilling us. They can pay this law firm. They say in this letter that because we have, in my mind, essentially told the truth and exposed some of those things that they would have preferred not to become public, that we are putting them and ourselves, our employment, in jeopardy. And we're actually hoping for this hearing. It's an opportunity for us to get our story out there because, in our minds, in the least what they have done is misled the general public about their practices. We last negotiated on Thursday. We have compromised our wage position by 60%. We're approaching Christmas. We have 46 people on the line in minus 16, 18 degree temperature, and we're hoping to get folks inside and shorten the length of our contracts so that we can, you know, sort of take a stab at it again. We made that offer and they didn't even counter. So I feel a little out of my element after I heard Chris speak because I'm familiar only with my own sort of little. But I've been enlightened. I've been enlightened. You know, when you have a lot of money and you have the support of government, you can say and do pretty much anything you want. And we may be a have-not province, but we're a pretty determined group, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that this organization, one, does what it was mandated to do, to protect the blood supply. And regardless of what happens in this contract and regardless of what happens with our wages and the like, regardless of the threats that they may use against us with the Labor Relations Board or firing, we will continue that safety issue well after this contract is over. I think that's all I really have to say.